Sorry, Sal Pal, yet the city in panic after the Sixers lose game one. What's up with this?
Well, Michael, I actually just flew back. I'm going back for game two. Boy, I hope the Sixers show up for game two. I'm going to be there. I'll tell you this. You know, I've been in a lot of bad arenas for the opposition, a lot of bad stadiums. Arrowhead, Foxborough's bad. The Black Hole in Oakland. Lincoln Financial Field is among the worst places to play if you're the opposition coming in. I believe it's top three, easy. This TD Bank Boston Garden is bad. It's nasty. It's loud and it's really nasty. It's not a good place to try to play. You're the visiting team. They are all over you and they are right on top of you, and it's as loud as the Wells Fargo. As loud as the Wells Fargo. It's bad.
Well, okay, it may be bad. They're going to have to play another game in that. And, you know, last night...
I say that because in the beginning, I buy a little bit of what Ben Simmons said about rust in the first quarter. But I think there was an intimidation factor for Simmons and Embiid at the beginning. I just felt that, like, oh, we're here playing in our first playoff game, and we're young, and we've had a lot of time off, and we just don't know what to expect. And I just don't think they were ready for it. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't look ready. And they gave up on, you know, the way they play wasn't indicative of the way they've been playing with defensive switches. They're not a great defensive perimeter team, but they've been able to disguise it with by switching and being in the proper position. Boston got so many open looks last night. I mean, what'd you make of that?
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. You know, I talked to a lot of, basketball people last night. Reporting is reporting, especially on sports. You go to people that you trust. You find some experts who really know what they're doing, and then you follow it up with your own little observation and a little bit of film study. And, you know, we could talk a lot about, you know, rust and all this other stuff and the mystique of the place, but from just a tactical and schematic standpoint, when you look at it, I mean, Boston was blowing up the dribble handoffs, and that switch on screens by Boston on defense was really very good. I mean, it was seamless. And then their speed and athleticism to quickly close and effectively close on the three-point shooters, the Sixers, not, you know, this is been a problem for them against Boston all year long. You know, the Sixers averaged 95 points per game against Boston in the four regular season games. That's 15 points lower than the Sixers' average of 110 points per game, and that's the lowest of any average against any opponent the Sixers had all year long in the NBA. So this does not come out of nowhere. Brad Stevens has a good schematic design defensively, and he's got athletic. It kind of reminds me of this a little bit. It reminds me of that Super Bowl with Seattle was this younger, faster, and better coached on defense against the Broncos and just tore them up. And Peyton Manning and the Broncos were just slow to everything, five beats too slow.
All right, so what kind of adjustments do you see the Sixers making here? Because they have some defensive mismatches here. They have J.J. Redick and Bellinelli in tough defensive situations where they couldn't cover athletic guys.
No.
And now you got the Tatum problem because it doesn't look like anybody can cover him either. So what do you expect the Sixers to do here?
Well, Michael, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there's no question. You know, they made the Sixers three-point assassins a liability on a defensive end. Bellinelli was a liability. Dario was somewhat of a liability, not as much. Ilyasova was a non-factor defensively. And Redick was chasing constantly. You know, Redick's job is to pour in 24 to 25 points. And if he's chasing defensively, that's not good. It's bad. They were too busy chasing faster, younger, more athletic Celtics players. And I think it eroded their offensive output, and it exposed them defensively. So I think the two things that really stand out to me at the beginning of the game that I think are easily fixable by Brown, first and foremost, what Stevens did was cut off Simmons' passing lanes once he got down below the foul line. Anytime that he was down low, there was nowhere for him to throw the ball. He's not going to shoot. They said, okay, well, if you're not going to shoot, we're not going to let you pass. I thought Stevens did a really good job. So now they've got to get some spacing on the floor so that Simmons has a place to put the basketball. Because I was talking to a number of their front office people, Boston's front office people, and they said, we focused on taking Simmons out of the game early and forcing them to go elsewhere with the ball, and it really worked. And the other thing they decided to do, which nobody's talking about, is they said, we're not worried about Embiid beating us by himself. He can't beat us by himself. We'll let him take his shots. We'll let him get his points. We'll let him go to the foul line. If he gets 28 to 35 points, that's not going to beat us. It's not going to be enough.
All right, so we got listen, I got to ask you this big question because this is, I thought they were going to lose last night's game. I had a sense that with the layoff coupled with the fact that I think they were smelling themselves a little bit and thought they could just show up and win was going to hurt them, and they were a couple steps behind Boston. Are they in danger of losing this series?
Yes.
Really?
I think they're in danger of losing the series. I mean, the history of these two teams this year, now I'm just talking about this year, is that Stevens has their number defensively. Look at the numbers. They are not held under 100 points by very many teams. And the Celtics held them under 100 points. They only scored 95 a game against the Celtics. They have to find an offensive answer to the Celtics defense. That is the bottom line. And they're going to have to be a lot more in tune what the Celtics are doing. Now, listen, Mike, the Celtics are not going to, shoot the ball out of the gym every single night. We know that. That number's going to fall off, right?
Mm-hmm.
The percentage is going to naturally get back to its mean of a much more difficult number to handle. They're not going to shoot lights out. Horford's not going to shoot like that from the three. Certainly Tatum is not going to go off like he did again, because it's just natural, and the second game should be the game that they have an opportunity to steal. I think this is the game because I think I saw a number where in their history, when the Celtics are up 2-0 in the playoffs, they don't lose. They're like undefeated. So this is the game to me where they have to make a stand and they have to say, all right, we found an answer, we made the adjustments, and the adjustment to me is fairly simple. It has to start in the first quarter, and you have to have Simmons' ability to pass the ball once he gets inside the perimeter, because that's exactly what Stevens did at the beginning of the game. He just said, you're not going to get a double-double tonight.
Yeah, they cut that part off of him. All right, Sal, I look forward to your report on Thursday. It's right, exciting Michael. To be in the TD Garden, isn't it? The ghost of Larry Past.
It's rough.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
Definitely rough.
I got you.
See you.
All right, there he is, Sal Powell.